comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you may be, all around this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. I've gotten several emails from folks about the interruptions that we had in the show last night. I think particularly it was interruptions in the video feed. I don't think there were significant interruptions in the audio feed. And there were people saying, please go back to Justin TV because of that. We may, but I got to tell you, I was watching the monitor over here. I was watching the control panel. And the interruptions were caused by outside, shall we say, motivations. It had nothing at all to do with Ustream. It had nothing to do with anything that was going on except for the subject matter that we were talking about and who we had talking about it. We had James Horak on the show, and as you know, James always attracts a gigantic crowd, and he always says things that make people stop and think, and apparently some of what he says must be exactly right, or nobody would be interested in interrupting him. If you watched our, those of you who are members, if you watched the latest show, you see there were no interruptions. So there was no interruption at all in what was going on here. There were no interruptions except after it left here and got over to, it was coming out of Ustream. So we expect that. We expect that when we have someone like that who's going to be talking about some rather deep things and say things from a standpoint of, I know, and, you know, if it's going to be... If whatever he's going to say is going to be on target, we expect that we're going to have interruptions, and we did. So, you know, it used to really, really, really frustrate me, and sometimes I guess it still does, but mainly now, you know, I just say, hey, look, you morons just highlighted everything he just said, and we now know to pay attention to that, so thanks. But anyway, that was the deal with the interruptions last night. K-Files already went out this week, so if you are subscribed, you already got your K-Files. And that very special price for some fabulous flowers for Mom, it ended today. I wish we could still offer it to you, but that deal ended sometime around sunrise this morning. They were sold out. And that's why I was warning you about that it was coming. And that's why I sent the K-Files early so that you would have that opportunity to get those for your mom. I hope you took advantage of it and sent Mom some beautiful flowers. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, so if you're not subscribed, be sure you do subscribe by going over to my website and click where it says K-Files. It'll take a couple of seconds to subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you wish to do so, and there are no strings attached. When we say it's free, we mean it is free, absolutely free. Now, I have no idea what's going on over here. We should be actually hearing our break. I figured out why I couldn't hear. Well, I don't really know why, but I found the culprit as to why I could not hear the bumper music. I was going to try and do tonight's show without these headphones, and so I've got a little speaker arrangement here. It's not new. We've had it set up for a while, and we had the speaker turned up, but the speaker wasn't, for some reason, playing what was going out over the air, so I couldn't hear what was happening. I was flying in the dark, so to speak. All right, now this is going to be BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic. It's going to be Open Line Live. We try to do one of those each week, and gives you the opportunity to say what's on your mind. It gives you the opportunity to have us discuss the topic that you wish to discuss. It could be ghosts, it could be EVPs, it could be UFOs, extraterrestrials, alien abduction. It could be some of the guests that we've had or a book that you've read, as long as it's within our genre. And you bring your own topic, we will talk about it. I want to kick this off tonight. You know, sometimes people get upset because I talk about mushrooms. And they say, oh, well, you know, I get emails where they say, you're insulting your audience. Well, only the mushrooms. Only the mushrooms. If you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, you can tell which one you hit every single time. And there are mushrooms out there. There are people who are in the dark. And in their case, it's, I think, my personal opinion is they're in the dark because they want to be. They feast upon a steady load of crap fed to them by mainstream, lamestream media. One of our audience sent me this earlier this week, and I've been hanging on to it. Now, these are called idiot sightings, let's rename it mushroom sightings. And you'll get a kick out of this. All right, here's one. It says, my daughter and I went through the McDonald's takeout window, and I gave the clerk a $5 bill. Our total was $4.25, so I handed her a quarter. She said, you gave me too much money. I said, yes, I know, but this way you can give me a dollar back. She sighed and went to get the manager, who asked me to repeat my request. I did so. He handed me back the quarter and said, we're sorry, but we cannot do that kind of thing. And so the clerk proceeded to give me back 75 cents in chains. Don't confuse the clerks at Mickey D's. Mushrooms. Not all of them, but some. How about this one? This one comes from Ottawa. We had to have our garage door repaired. The Sears repairman told us that one of our problems was we did not have a large enough motor for the opener. I thought for a minute, and I said, well, we have the largest one Sears made at the time. It's a half horsepower. He shook his head and said, lady, you need a 1/4 horsepower. I responded, 1/2 is larger than 1/4, and he said, no, it's not. 4 is larger than 2. There's several more, but I'm just going to read one more. Oh, yes, the mushrooms, the mushrooms. All right, this one from Guelph, Ontario. When my husband and I arrived at an automobile dealership to pick up our car, we were told the keys had been locked in it, so we went to the service department and found the mechanic working feverishly to unlock the driver's side door. As I watched from the passenger side, I instinctively tried the door handle and discovered that it was unlocked. Hey, I announced to the technician, it's open. Are you ready for this? His reply, I know, I already got that side. Be careful, folks. They walk among us, the mushrooms. All right, a couple of quick things here, and we're going to open up the telephone lines. You know, on Open Line Live night, it's a great time for you to call in from anywhere in the world because we have more telephone time available to us, and that means it's easier for you to get through I know it's frustrating sometimes when you're trying to get through and you can't. Sometimes you call and you get right through. Sometimes you try, you try, you try, and it's busy, busy, busy. It's just that way because of the fact that it's a very, very, very popular show, and there are literally tons and tons, untold numbers of people listening to the show. We'll open the phone lines in a little bit. Let me give you this real quick. Over the past few days, the names Clay and Sean Pickering have come up here on the show again, and people are quite interested in these two gentlemen and in their story. And it has once again broken out into sort of high temperature on the internet in the UFO blogs, and I use that term generically, the various UFO blogs out there. And Clay and Sean Pickering are the two guys that broke the news about a meeting that took place a couple of years ago at the United Nations building. And at this meeting, a high-ranking U.S. Navy official, according to them, briefed people from about 30 countries on UFO extraterrestrial reality and the fact that these extraterrestrials have sort of put them on a short leash and told them, either you make disclosure or we will. And the meeting, according to the notes that came out of the meeting, as released by Clay and Sean Pickering, the plan of action was that each of the governments would be encouraged to begin acclimating their citizens to the idea that extraterrestrials are real and that they are here, that they are visiting us. But it also said that they would continue this thing of ridicule and discredit for anyone who claims to have had extraterrestrial contact. Well, Clay and Sean Pickering have come under a lot of fire, and what's interesting is where the fire is coming from. It is coming from the ranks of the so-called UFO community. Let's see if I can find here. Here it is. Clay and Sean have only had this to say. For security reasons, Sean and I will refrain from commenting on any of the Navy League pictures. We will neither confirm or deny any of these pictures. They also say that how can the UFO community resent us when they don't even believe the core elements of the story to begin with? What goods we have given has only been met with derision and ridicule by these folks. I told our source a month ago that Sean and I are taking a beating on the blogs about this whole affair, and that much of our information has now entered the world of meme. This comment resonated with our source. Their source is, according to Robert Morningstar of UFO Digest, known personally to him, and he has spent quite some time talking with him. And according to Robert Morningstar, he is everything that Clay and Sean Pickering have said that he is. His credentials are everything and more that they described. And yet these guys are taking a beating. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. What I'm going to do is try, we'll see, I don't know if it's possible, we'll see if we can get Clay and Sean back on real soon, maybe this next week. Now, in Russia, now get your fingers ready because I am going to open up the phone lines where we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. We'll talk about whatever's happening, that as long as it's weird, strange, unexplained. We don't get into politics because it's not a political show. We don't get into Aunt Susie's best recipe for fruitcake because it's not a cooking show. But as long as it's within our genre, anything you want to talk about from any place, from sea to shining sea, north to south, east to west, all around the globe, we will talk about what you want to talk about tonight. And I love it because it's a whole lot like getting to go to university again. I get information from folks all over the world. I keep a yellow notepad here, and as we talk, I take notes of things people say for me to look into further, and that very often shows up in some shows. Okay, in Russia, a Russian member of parliament has asked Dmitry Medvedev to investigate claims by a regional president that he has met aliens on board a spaceship. I'm not sure I can say this guy's name, but I'll try. His name, his name is Kherson Ilyumshinov, the leader of the southern region of Kalmykia. He made this claim on a television interview. Now, apparently what he said is that it was on primetime television in Russia, and he said that he had been taken on board an alien spaceship which had come to planet Earth to take samples. And he claims to have several witnesses to this: his chauffeur, his bodyguard, and somebody else. He's been president of that region for 17 years. He's a millionaire, former businessman. And so now what's happened, because he made this claim, a member of parliament has, and his name is Andrei Lebedev, has asked for the president of Russia, Medvedev, to investigate this and to look into, he wants to know if any state secrets were given to these aliens. He also wants to know if there's any kind of official protocol for reporting this kind of thing to the government. There probably is some kind of official protocol, but here is why I brought this up. Clay and Sean Pickering told us what happened in this meeting that took place in the United Nations building a couple of years ago. The plan was to ridicule and to discredit anyone that comes out and says we've had contact with aliens. So you know what? When you have followed a protocol like that, which they're apparently doing all over the world, and you've done it for the past 60 years, how can you people in government reasonably, rationally, logically expect that anybody is going to follow any rules you have about reporting this kind of thing to you? They're not going to do it, and the reason they're not going to do it is because you folks have proven yourselves to be dancing with the devil. You've proven yourself to be the very people to run from on this issue. So now we'll open up the telephone lines. And if you happen to have a topic that you would like to talk about, we had a call that came in, and it came in a little bit too early. But if you have a topic you would like to talk about, the phone lines are now open. I just pushed the button to open them. The timers are set, and we're good to go. Now, anything within our genre, it can be about any of these things that I've talked about here this evening already, or it can be about any of the guests that we've had or something they said. You know, one thing that Mr. Horak said last night that rocked the audience back on their heels, and he didn't bring it up. We had a caller, I believe the caller's name was Jackie, who called in and said, you know, in a previous show, you told us about what happened to you when you were four. and your contact with some extraterrestrials that were trying to take your mom out of the car, and you had this reaction to them, and it caused their spaceships to malfunction, and they ran, and their spaceships malfunctioned. Now, if you haven't heard all of that, you need to go into our archives and hear it, that previous show. Anyway, Jackie said, this happened in New Mexico when you were four. Is it possible that those were the crashed spaceships, the crashed UFOs from the Roswell incident? And Horak said, yes. Now that rocked. It rocked me. It rocked our audience. I've been getting a lot of email about that. And I had never put that together. And what do you think about that? Or what do you think about something else? It's BYOT, bring your own topic, and we'll talk about what's on your mind. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Columbia. Hi. I'll tell you what I'd like to talk about, something that's been on my mind for a long time.
Okay.
We have a very large UFO community right all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no coalition between them. There's nothing. They're fighting. It's infighting.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they have this is how I see it. They start discrediting their own field of research when they can't come together like civilized human beings, share the information for the good of all.
I agree with you, but I'm going to add something to it. Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
The problem is they're acting exactly like human beings, and that's the problem. They're not human. We are not human. There were humans on this planet. We're not human. We are gods with a little g, at least according to some ancient documents, including the Bible. Can you hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. I want to get back to you. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Haya, are you still on the line with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I agree with what you're saying. The UFO community is at war with itself. The UFO community eats its own. But it's because they are acting like humans when they haven't discovered that's not what they are. It's a concept that's so foreign to most people that they think I'm absolutely insane when I say we are gods with a little g. Now, there are a lot of ancient manuscripts that say this, including the Bible in both what's called the Old Testament and what's called the New Testament. It's in both places.
It's also in the Kolbrin Bible as well.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And it's in the Kabbalah text.
Mm-hmm. It's in a lot of these ancient texts. Yeah. So there, it's like you've probably, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you've heard me say the problem with Earth is kangaroos.
Yeah.
It's like if you were brought up to believe, yeah, if you were brought up to believe you were a kangaroo, and you totally, fully believed it. Your mom, your dad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents, everybody in the family hops around. You eat nuts and berries. You drink water from the stream, and you hop around everywhere you go. And you want to be the best kangaroo you can be. How good a kangaroo can you be? Well, you can't be one at all because you're not. And that's the problem with people trying to be the best human they can be. All right? How good a human can they be? Well, they can't be one at all. But that's the problem.
We could be more than what we are, though, in a very positive manner, though. We have the ability.
Well, we do, but not because we're human. The reason we have the ability...
We come from somewhere else. I think we even come from a different solar system completely.
Well, we may. I'm not sure where we come from, but I'm fairly certain it's not here. But here's the deal. The difference between humans and gods is principally that when you understand, and not just understand in your mind, but when you're at peace with the idea that you're a god with a little g...
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't mean you're the supreme being, but you're a god with a little g. At this point, you can be totally comfortable in your own skin, and there are people that would not understand this, but I think you will. I'll use me as an example. That way nobody can say I was insulting anybody else. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As a human... It matters to me whether you agree with me or not. As a god with a little g, it doesn't matter. Okay? You're free. You are free to think what you think. It's okay with me. As a human, it matters to me if you think in affirmative ways about me. In other words, your opinion of me. I want it to be a good opinion of me.
Well, as, because we've been taught.
Yeah. Well, as a god with a little g... Well, I would like that, but it's okay if you don't. Whatever you think about me, it's okay. You're free to think.
Yeah, but you see, this is the thing. We've been taught that our power is outside of us, that we have no control over what our actions and what we do. We've been told, you know, God in the exterior controls everything. And so that we don't have any power. I noticed that a lot today. It's like, well, what can we do against? I said, you can do a lot. Because it's not just what you think, how you speak, but it's your actions that create your world. And there are things that are outside of us, I find, that will happen, but really it boils down to how are we going to deal with these things when they come, when we're faced with these things, whether it's seeing UFOs or being an abductee or a contactee. I think basically when you boil it down to, it's how are we going to deal with it on an individual, on a personal basis, because that's all we can do. And I think you had a guest at one point, or was it yourself, that said that there are things that we can do that we can control. It's our thoughts, our actions, what we do, the people we have close contact with, and the people that are, you know, like-minded and their friends. And then after that, we have no control.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have control of ourselves.
That's true. The only thing on this planet that anyone has control over is the space where their feet are standing.
Yeah.
Okay? In other words... We have control over ourselves, and that's it. Now, as humans, humans talk in terms of doing. You know, what can I do about this? What can I do about that? And those are important considerations, but they never go beyond that. It's always, what can I do about this? How can I change that? What can I do about this other thing? As gods with a little g, the primary consideration is not what can I do, but it's about being. And it's a shift of gears. So you have to be something before you can actually do something that's going to make a huge difference. And, you know, once in a while I put on the video screen, I put a graphic that says, you are somebody great, so do something great. And but it starts out with who you are, not what you do. We tend to, as humans, people that think they're humans, talk in terms like this. They'll say, oh, Kevin Smith, yeah, he's that talk show host. And that makes sense to us because we're used to it. I'm not a talk show host. I am Kevin Smith.
Exactly.
Talk show host is what I do. okay? What I am is a husband, a father, a grandfather, a musician. I mean, you know, there. What I am is not necessarily what I do.
No, I know, and people have a tendency to look at the superficial.
Mm-hmm. And so as long as they're at that superficial level, there are people within the so-called UFO community that feel appointed by God to be the gatekeepers of the truth. And so they are like prosecutors. They're in there trying to root out everybody that's not giving them the absolute truth. Well, I got to tell you something. Nobody in the world, not just the UFO community, but nobody in the world has the absolute truth about UFOs.
Oh, gosh, no. I know. I agree with you.
You know, we've got little pieces of it. Each person has a little piece of the puzzle.
And if we could put all those pieces of the puzzle together, we'd have a better idea and understanding. And I think we have to stop the fighting and the carrying on like children and, you know, really... if there's going to be any type of exposure, I don't think they're going to want to have much to do with us until we start growing up a little bit.
Well, I think that's true, but you know, the humans out there, the ones, the pseudo-humans, the people that think they're human, they need disclosure. They need the government to pat them on the head and say, "That's right, you saw a UFO." Those who are gods with a little G, we don't need it. Yeah, if they want to do it, it's okay, but they're so far behind the curve that it's unbelievable. I mean, they'll have to travel at light speed for several years to catch up. And the people that are at home with themselves, completely comfortable with, they know what they have seen, they know what they have experienced. They don't need anybody's approval to say, "Yeah, you're okay." Those people already know, and disclosure is in the past.
Now it's just finding out what areas of the universe they came from.
There'll be some interesting details.
Like, you know.
And I hope to get some interviews, too, with them.
Great.
I'm not kidding. If they make disclosure.
I'd love to meet some and just get to know them and find out what their culture's like and go check out their planet. I mean, I have no problems with that. People think I'm nuts, but I think, hey, look, everything I've been taught all my life, I have to look at it as it's been one great big huge lie. Now I have to look at life and start really looking at the truth. And how am I going to know, be the judge of that? Is by my intuitive nature, by my knowledge that when you know something, you know it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then, see... If I know something and I tell you about it and you say, "Oh, that's nuts," I can walk away from that completely as comfortable as before I told you. It doesn't affect whether I know it or not.
Exactly.
You know? Hiya, let me ask you a question. Stephen Hawking says we need to be very cautious about making contact with extraterrestrials because it may be something like when Columbus made contact with the Native Americans and didn't turn out all that well for the Native Americans. And what he's talking about is a complete change of culture. Well, you know something?
He's talking out of fear.
Well, but it is true. It is true. The same thing happened when the steam engine was invented. It completely changed culture.
But sometimes that might be very good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. You think it'd be a good thing for us to contact?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a phenomenal thing. You know, and we have to learn how to grow up, and we have to learn a lot of things, and we have to stop assuming so much. And
well, if you make contact, you may have to introduce some of your neighbors then, see, and you might have to say to the extraterrestrial, "I'm Hiya. These are kangaroos."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I always, where I'm living here, I'm considered the orb lady because I take pictures at night,
mm-hmm.
and I'm picking up all different types of orbs and interdimensionals. I'll send you some pictures so you have an idea.
Please do.
They're very unusual and kind of scares people a little bit.
Well, that's because it doesn't fit with being human.
I know.
Yeah, it's sad. But a few of them are waking up and realizing, you know, doggone it, I'm not a kangaroo. So, you know, a few are waking up, and that's a good thing. Hi, I have to move along, but thanks for the call. Very interesting.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, folks, 623-444-5889, or toll-free in the USA or Canada, it's toll-free, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA, you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you. The main number will work, but if you don't want to make that international long-distance call, you can use our flash message option on my website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Now, you said your show was hatched about 10 years ago in May?
That's correct. May, the official date, the best I've been able to trace it back, is May the 11th. I think that's when the first show went online.
Well, then let me say one thing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Kevin Smith Show. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, Brent. Do you want to hang on through the break?
No, it's fine.
All right. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the happy birthday. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We are back, and it's open line tonight. That means that we'll talk about what's on your mind. Whatever that may be, as long as it's within our genre. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kev. It's Boomer calling from Ladysmith, Vancouver Island, about an hour north of High, I guess.
Well, so I've got two Canadians tonight so far.
Yeah, two island people so far. Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Horak. Oh, I'm on the edge of my seat every time you get him on. He's fantastic.
Now, let me tell you something. I am too, because I never know what he's going to say.
Well, yeah, he's just, boy... I got to say this, Kev. I've listened to Coast to Coast, and you know, a lot of the shows out there. Your show, hands down, consistently blows every other show out of the water.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean it, Kev. It's fantastic. But anyways, my question is, after listening to James there. It was last night, I think.
Uh-huh.
I went back. I couldn't sleep, and I went back and I listened to an interview on your K-Pod there from him, a month or two ago. And the only question I have, and I want to see what you think about it, the gist of everything that I've, figured out over listening to all this and... and other stuff on the internet and that. Aren't we here as almost as an experiment in, the duality thing in humanity, to learn lessons over, over lifetimes, to better ourselves? And the thing with James is, if I've got that half straight, he talks about, we could come you know, some committee deciding that, you know, we're just not worth it, and, you know, and if they tried some mass kill off of the people of Earth, that they could just end it there. And I, what do you think? Do you have any ideas on that? Does it make any sense?
Well, I cannot speak for Mr. Horak. My understanding of what he has said would be pretty much along the lines that you have just told us. I would word my understanding of what he says something like this. This earth has had civilizations, and he's told us, I think he said there have been seven, or maybe we're the seventh. Anyway, but they only one got it right.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think that this is a
kind of.
I'm sorry?
We're like on the verge of making it or not as a species.
Yeah. But this is the first one to get to this point where the controllers, the people that are trying to control humanity, have the awesome technology to actually kill off most of the planet.
Yeah.
And so he's quite concerned about that. But he said that he sees hope for us because of the fact that there are so many people that are waking up and that are pulling back away from that power paradigm. And so, you know, maybe we'll make it. I think that, now that's how I understand what he says. And that may be, maybe I didn't word it well, but that's my understanding.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I thought I'd throw that out there and just, you know, see what you got out of it. Anyways, great show, Kev. Thanks again for everything, and have a great weekend.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Mr. James Horak is truly one of the most unique individuals I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. And it is a pleasure to know him. I'll tell you, sometimes I'm on the phone with him for a couple of hours just listening, and unbelievable stuff that he talks about. Well, it's not unbelievable, but it's fantastic, wonderful stuff that he talks about and what insight he's got. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Mark from Ohio. How are you?
I am doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing real good. I had a very interesting experience last night, and I wanted to tell you a little story.
All right.
That your listeners might find this kind of interesting. I'm a solo fingerstyle guitarist, and that's kind of my evening job, you might say. Last night, I was playing at a venue in Dayton, which is pretty far from my house. Anyway, near the end of the evening, I took a little break, and a couple of women came over to me and started a conversation. One of the women picked up a CD of mine, and she noticed a song entitled South African Journey. She proceeded to tell me that she had lived in South Africa for a while. So I asked her if she had heard of Michael Tellinger, and she told me she had not, so I told her a little bit about Michael Tellinger's work. Next, I asked her if she had ever heard of Puma Punku in Bolivia, and she had, and I was absolutely amazed. And we talked about Puma Punku for a little while, and I told her that I didn't think it could have been built by a primitive culture, but by some other group that had a very high technology. Anyway, she said, yes, I think we need to be open to these other possibilities. She then asked me if I had read The Day After Roswell, and I told her that I had, and that I thought it was a great book. Anyway, she started to tell me an interesting story about when she was growing up in Dayton. Her parents knew a man that she just knew as Dr. Thomas, who worked at Wright-Patterson, that used to come over to visit. And Dr. Thomas sometimes would drink a little too much and would start to tell them things that he knew. And during one conversation, Dr. Thomas stated that he had seen the craft that had crashed at Roswell and that he had seen all of the alien bodies associated with the craft. Anyway, I thought I would share that with you, and I thought maybe your listeners would find that interesting.
Wow, that is cool. Now, did she say anything about what she thought about that?
Well, it was really interesting. She was very open to that, and we ended up having probably an hour conversation about, you know, all different aspects of the UFO phenomenon. I told her about your show and Coast to Coast, and I sent her some links because I think she's just kind of becoming open to this information. She told me that when she was having her third child, she was really having a hard time sleeping. So she would stay up real late at night, 2 and 3 a.m., and she would watch the History Channel and other shows, and she started to realize that she was being lied to and that so many things were being covered up. And it was just really interesting to meet someone that was interested in UFO phenomena, and we exchanged contact information and everything, but that doesn't happen very often, so it was really quite interesting.
Wow, that is a cool story.
Indeed, hey, I thought I would share that with your listeners, Kevin.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing it with us, Mark. All right. We are, let's see, we're about a minute or so from break, but if you have a question or if you have a comment or if you've got a topic you want to talk about, it's Open Line Live tonight. We'll talk about what's on your mind. Now, that's cool, isn't it? See, you run into people all the time who are opening up to this. And in many cases, it's you run into folks that they've been open to the information. They've had their eyes open for a long time, but they haven't run into anyone that they felt comfortable in talking about this with. If you're comfortable in your own skin, it doesn't matter, you know. And think of what a tremendous service it is to just be open enough to talk with people about this. And if they accept it, fine. If they don't, fine. Be comfortable with it. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight. That means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. All you need to do is push those magic buttons. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. That is the main number here in the studio. Toll free in the United States and Canada. If you need to call me toll free, do it. It's 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free international line. In fact, I don't have one because though I looked for one, I could not find anybody that had one. So, what I did is I set up something for you if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada. It's called the Flash Message option, or flash messages, and all you have to do is just go to my website. On my website, all you do is scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message, and you can send me your question or comment for our open line tonight. It will flash on my screen over here when the message comes in, and that's why we call it flash message. You know, and the phone lines are open, so, you know, if you've never called before, you're a first-timer, this is a great time for you to call. And it's easier to get in on Open Line Live night than it is any other night, so it's a great time to call. I was saying when we went to break that it's a great service for you if you feel comfortable in your skin, and you should. if you understand that whatever is true whether somebody believes it or not, and people that say, you know, you talk to them about UFOs or extraterrestrials or ghosts or whatever, and they say, that's nuts. Okay, it doesn't matter whether they believe or not, because we're not trying to get people to believe, are we? We're simply trying to inform. And, you know, have you ever thought about the Perry Mason version of informing someone? One of the, you know, there are very few television shows that I will watch. Very few. But one of the things I do is late at night, I will watch on the internet. I'll watch old movies sometimes. And Perry Mason is something that I enjoy watching. And the Perry Mason version is, he says all this stuff that the prosecutor jumps up and says, I object. And the judge sustains the objection. In other words, he agrees with it. Nevertheless, the jury heard it all. They got informed. Use the Perry Mason version sometimes. It works. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This Hi. Is Ryan from Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
I wanted to talk about this, about the turkey sighting.
Okay.
You know, that video that's been circling around on the internet, that is all over the place, that there's a chance. I've been looking at it, digging into it a little bit, and in my opinion, I think that there's a high chance that video is absolutely real. But I just wanted to see if there's anybody in the audience that knows any more about it that might be able to call in. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes. In fact, there are a couple of them. Going back for a couple of years, there, in fact, three videos, and one on YouTube has taken all three and made a compilation of all three. They show you all three of them. pardon me. Something in the air out here, and my sinuses are going crazy. I don't see how those could be faked. And if they were being faked, and you go back like to 2008, and you look at that, and you look at 2009, you look at 2010, there would be evidence, visible evidence of something different. That these things are, in my opinion, they're genuine.
Yeah, here's what I think is fascinating about it is that the pilot of it, the extraterrestrial, there's no other terminology I know how to use for it. The extraterrestrial, the little gray that everybody's been talking about in the history of ufology. Anyways, they purposely wanted to be videotaped by the person that was videotaping him. Now, the thing that's interesting is that it's barely been talked about by very many people. I'm trying to tell more people about it to get some researchers to take a look at it. Another thing that I found out about it was that, for one, Roger Lear was one of the witnesses to vouch for the fact that it wasn't some model or something in the air. There's over a dozen witnesses. So anyways, it's just it's one of these cases where I think a lot of us are kind of ingrained with the idea that UFO videos are going to be blurry or fuzzy, or you never get a good enough shot to actually prove anything. It's always kind of a speculation whether it's ours or theirs or whatever. And this one is this. I've never seen anything quite this clear. Have you?
No, it's one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, anyways, I was just wondering if there's anybody in the audience that might know more about it, that might be able to give more, if there's anybody listening in Turkey. I know you're known worldwide, so.
Okay. Well, Ryan, we'll see. And, wow, thanks for the call. This video that he's talking about is very clear, and I find it to be very, very curious, don't you? When we have all these videos that are usually blurry, because usually these videos are being taken with cell phones or they're being taken with just consumer-grade video cameras, and at very long distances, those cameras just don't have what it takes to be able to get in focus and you know, at a long distance and really do a good job with it. So they're blurry. And so the debunkers say, well, you show us these blurry pictures and, you know, it could be anything. Well, yeah, it could be. I mean, anything could be anything. Let's be honest about it. You know, you see a video, it could be, you know, the fourth sun from Aldebaran that has decided to visit Earth. It could be anything. But that's ridiculous. Anyway, they say it's blurry and it could be anything. Then when you come up with a video like the one Ryan's talking about, and it's very, very clear, they say, well, you know, we think it's a hoax because, you know, first of all, look how clear this is, how in focus this is, and that's just not the way videos are when it's UFO videos. And so you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, and who cares what a debunker thinks? I mean, really, who cares? They care, but who else cares? They're trying to convince people to believe them and have faith in their superior intellect. Okay, you want to have faith in some person? Knock yourself out. But, you know, who really cares? I mean, who gives two tinkers dams what a debunker thinks? Who cares? They're absolutely inconsequential. Now, there is no logic, no sense, no rationale in, well, your video is blurry, so it can't be a UFO, and then flip it over and say your video is too in focus, it's too clear, it can't be real. There's just no logic, no rationale to that. And but that's what they do. That's the way they cut it. And hey, they want to live on rotten meat, let them do it. It's okay. It's a free world, sort of. 623-444-5889. And I have from Austria a flash message from Julian. J-U-L-I-A-N, maybe it's Julian. Hey, Mr. Smith, I like the hat, but sometimes you wear different eyeglasses. What's the deal with all the different eyeglasses? Well, the deal with the eyeglasses, for a number of years, I've been losing my eyesight. I am gradually going blind, and my eyesight changes from day to day. In front of me, I've got this pair, and in front of me, I've got one, two, three, four, five other pair, different prescriptions. Each day as I get up, this prescription may tomorrow be too strong for me. It may be too weak for me. So each day as I get up, whatever my eyesight is at that day, or it changes sometimes during the day, I have a different pair of glasses to put on so I can see to read these notes. Now I can take the glasses off and see. And it's pretty much fairly in focus. But to try and see details, like to read, or to see well enough to know which button to push here, I have to have the eyeglasses, and it's because of that I have different eyeglasses, and that's why you see different ones from show to show. I didn't think anybody had noticed that, but they are somewhat different, a little bit different. And if you got a sharp eye and a keen intellect, you'll notice the difference. Now the hat. Well, the hat, I just wore it because I wanted to, and sometimes I do that. Whenever I go outside, especially out here in Arizona, because I have flesh-colored hair, I'm bald. If I go outside, I wear the hat to prevent getting sunburned on my head. And I did walk across the street to a store this afternoon. I wore the hat, and I just decided, you know what? I think I'll wear that for the show. And here it is. All right, it's Open Line Live tonight, and the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. You know, we started out, I kicked this off by talking about the Clay and Sean Pickering story. Now, Clay and Sean Pickering live in New York. And they are the ones that brought us the information about the United Nations. It was not a meeting of the United Nations. It was a meeting that took place in the United Nations building a couple of years ago, talking about extraterrestrial reality. And according to them, this was a briefing that was given by a high-ranking U.S. Navy officer. And he was briefing people from about 30 other countries regarding the fact that extraterrestrials are real, that extraterrestrials are having contact with us, and we need to acclimate the world's population to this idea. Since that time, the outline, the plan of action outlined at that meeting seems to have been followed. There are people who come out and talk about extraterrestrials, and everything seems to be kind of okay. There are others who come out and talk about extraterrestrials. I'm talking about in the scientific community. They come out and talk about it, and man, it's like a ton of bricks falls on them. The ridicule, the laughter, the anger, it's just unreal what happens to them. You know, right now, there's the female astronomer, the lady, and her name is Judy Faltskog. And information was leaked from her that we have detected an intelligent signal somewhere out there close to Aldebaran, and or Aldebaran, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. We'll have to ask them when they get here. And there has, you know, immediately there was all this stuff about it's a hoax, and it may be. It could be, but it is a hoax, it's nonsense, and blah, blah, blah. But when Stephen Hawking talked about the fact that extraterrestrials may in fact be out there, and we may in fact come into contact with them someday, and it's best for us to not try to contact them, he didn't get all of that. And that is according to the plan of action that came out of that meeting. Caller, you are live. Well, let's see. Yep, there you are. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin. How are you?
Hi, Stefan. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good too. Just got back from work here. I'm just wondering, you know, Stephen Hawking's comment regarding the whole Native American thing, I have to disagree. I mean, even though it worked out terribly in the short term, in the long term, we're actually doing pretty good as a nation, you know, throughout North America and the and a large part of South America as well. I mean, there's conferences going on. People are free to travel a lot of places. I exist, of course. I'm Native. I'm mixed-blooded, you know, so I'm happy about that.
Well, and so am I. You know, I'm mixed.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that if there is such a thing as a God, and God created E.T. as well as us, and that makes them, even if they're enemies, that makes them family. And who's to say that we won't be able to mix with them as well in the future? I mean, this planet's going to need some new blood at some point. I'm not sure what our saturation levels are at right now, but, I mean, it seems ridiculous to me to think that we're not going to be mixing with other races at some point as well.
Well, I see no particular reason for us to think that they are going to be enemies. On the other hand, you know, there's a balance that's possible. On the one hand, we should not assume that any extraterrestrial civilization is going to be an enemy, just a natural enemy of people on Earth. We shouldn't assume that. On the other hand, we shouldn't mindlessly grab some wildflowers and walk up to a landed UFO and say, you know, we love you. We should do what we do here on Earth. New family moves into a neighborhood. That family should not assume the neighbors are going to hate them. The neighbors should not assume this new family is going to be negative or positive for the neighborhood. But how about some neighbors just going over to meet the new family and welcome them to the neighborhood and find out what's what? You know, I mean, we could do the same thing with ETs.
Exactly. I mean, maybe they've waited all this time for us to advance to this state. I'm not sure how advanced we are to previous civilizations, but, I mean, maybe they've been waiting for this moment because if we're eventually meant to go out into the stars, maybe this is our graduation point, you know? Maybe this is the first time where we've actually started killing the planet itself. I know we switched it on its axis, maybe, but maybe this is the first time maybe that we've actually started killing it.
Oh, we're doing a good job of killing the planet. Yeah, we're really doing a fine job of that. But honestly, we've been doing that my entire life. And some of what was going on years ago, we're now beginning to see the end result of it, and it's not a pretty picture. We've done some heavy damage to the planet. But you know, until we have a reason to know that these ETs are hostile to us, I think it's very, very foolish for us to respond to them as if they are hostiles.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, I mean, if these people can travel we'll say they traveled 30 light years to get here, and they did it in a matter of a month or two. Their technology is so far advanced, it is absolutely insane to shoot something at them.
Yep.
You know, I think the best thing to do is try and make friends with them. But, you know, it's anybody that thinks we've got something we can shoot at them and that we can control them, they've been drinking left-handed Kool-Aid.
I agree. Kevin, the other thing I want to comment on is it's kind of a trend I'm noticing in my life, and I don't know if maybe you can shed some insight on this. Have you been noticing that, I know for myself, lately, for the last couple of years, it seems that I can only relate and associate with people that are in these fields or believe in these fields. I mean, I don't really have much interest in associating with people that don't think about this stuff. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, I think it's natural. Birds of a feather flock together, you know. I think that's just natural, but it's a comfort zone. And, you know, we feel more comfortable talking with people who are open to the things we want to talk about. But I think it's important for us, and it's important for everyone else, for us to sort of downshift once in a while and, you know, just spend some time with folks that are not, quote, in the group. And we don't necessarily even have to talk about what it is we talk about, you know. I do that. I spend time with people that they are several light years away in information, and but they're still good people, and I spend time with them, and I think it's good for us. It's good for them.
I think you're right. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Great show.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's segregation is at every level. Unless there's a medical necessity, at that point we call it quarantine. But segregation, sociologically, is not healthy for anybody. And though we feel more comfortable talking and associating with people who think like us, it's not healthy for us to segregate ourselves and not spend time with other people. It's challenging and healthy for us to spend time with others. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, and we just had a break takeover. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure will, Kevin.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back right after this. You are listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have a caller on hold. It is open line live tonight, and so let's find out who this caller is and what's on his or her mind, his mind, because we already know that. Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
This we're talking about ancestry. My dad's mother was full-blooded Cherokee Indian.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that makes me about a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the aliens, I just call them brothers and sisters from another mother. And I don't like the word ET necessarily. I always, when I had my bulletin board up back in the 80s, I coined the word NELF, N-E-L-F, for non-earthly life form. And that way, you know, it's not derogatory. It's just...
Well, ET's not either. The word terrestrial means earthly, and extra means apart from. They're not from here.
They might be.
Well, if they come to here from somewhere else, then they're not from here.
Well, let's go back and say that in the history that they came here and there was no us, as you suggest in your Gods in the Garden,
mm-hmm.
and that they put us here. Well, they were the first inhabitants, you know, apart from the...
Maybe, but they're not from here. They didn't originate here.
No, and apparently there's been some discussion, I guess, as where we actually originate here, or if we originate on Mars and then we're brought here.
Well, in that case, we are extraterrestrial.
Exactly.
But there's nothing derogatory about extraterrestrial.
Well, no, I shouldn't have implied that there was, but, you know, like EBE, extraterrestrial biological entity, and there's a lot of indication that those are not really sentient beings, that they're more of an invented creature that... as like a computer mind, they follow orders.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't meaning to insinuate that it was derogatory. I just said that was the word I coined, is non-earthly life forms. And I think that it's not going to be that much longer. because of what's happened here with this oil spill. These people, with all the trouble, give us a beautiful blue marble in space, and we're doing all we can to just trash it, turn the Earth itself into a slum, all in the name of power and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm not so sure that what happened out there wasn't a combination of both man's failure and the planet's effect by whatever's coming in around the sun. It's a combination of both, I think, in this case. But there's somebody going to try to benefit from this at the expense of everybody else and the planet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the politicians are already lining up and spouting pontifications, trying to benefit one way or the other on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, really, it's nothing good, nothing bad for these guys. Doesn't matter whether it's good, doesn't matter whether it's bad. They will spin it and try to profit from it.
Exactly. You know, these guys are akin, in my opinion, to young kids that go up to a beautiful building and do graffiti all over it. And that's the way I see these people, these controllers, as they call themselves.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, like I said at the top of the show, these people need to understand they're dancing naked, but they're dancing with the devil. They don't understand they're dancing naked. We can see who they're dancing with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call.
You know, it's amazing how everything's being spun, you know, and I know this is something that's already been kicked around a lot, but this this telescope out there in Arizona, Lucifer, and everybody's getting all bent out of shape over that thing. Just a telescope, you know?
It's just a telescope, and the name Lucifer means light bearer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We put the other, we spin the other connotations on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess we'll, I'm of the opinion that something's going to happen by external forces because of the way they are doing this planet. Here they're going, the electromagnetic vehicles out there are doing all they can to keep the sun under control so that the planet and the solar system can continue to function. And here you got these little mushrooms, if you will, trying to just undo everything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I think they're going to get spanked one of these days in the near future.
Oh, they are. They really, really are. Maybe not in my lifetime, but I think so. And, you know, they need to go take a look at Milosevic, Ceausescu, Mussolini. They need to go look at these guys because that's going to be a Sunday school picnic compared to what's coming for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
You know,
I'm going to have to run. I got another call, but I want to thank you for the call.
All right.
Very interesting. All right, and let's go to this line. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, they gave up. All right, when you call, folks, please just stay on hold. When I put you there, just stay on hold. And we will get to you as quickly as possible. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin.
I just wanted to throw an idea out there.
All right.
As to why NASA is lost a bunch of funding and why they are going back into space with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be because alien technology may become public, and NASA would just look embarrassing with any time or money spent on currently known technology.
You know something? Every time you call, Kevin, you always say something that really makes me think. And I appreciate that. That's an angle I had not thought of, that maybe alien technology or reverse engineered alien technology, one or the other, is about to be deployed, and maybe, as you say, if they deploy it and NASA's going full speed ahead working on this old technology, it would be embarrassing and discrediting for them. So maybe that's true. Maybe there is about to be some deployment of some of this alien technology. Very interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think of these things like naturally, or do you have to work at it? Because you always come up with something really good.
I'm a random thinker. It's hard to explain. I just, like, I'll listen to topics on your show or watch videos, do whatever, and just sometimes I'll think about certain stuff, and other times I'll just ignore it.
Yeah? So it just sort of happens.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Every time you call, you lay something on us that is not only worth thinking about, but it's from a perspective that's very plausible, and, you know, I always have to sit back and say, well, you know, that could be. And I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man. No problem.
See, that's one of the reasons I love Open Line Live. Everybody has a different perspective, and we can learn from every perspective. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling? Okay, you need to turn your radio down because we're hearing me in delay back there behind you.
Greg from New Jersey.
Okay, Greg. What is on your mind this evening?
A couple of things. I wanted to, I've been listening to some of the callers coming in, and I wanted to actually jump in on some of those topics, but I guess the main reason I wanted to call was just to mention about the NASA photos and, you know, how they've been hiding the extraterrestrial presence for years on Mars, and if you go back and you look at them very, very well and very carefully using actually some primitive tools, you can uncover, I call them the Sharpie marks. I mean, you know what I mean by Sharpie,
yeah.
The pen?
Yeah.
I that's just a little nickname I give it. So I said you'll uncover the Sharpie marks, and then if you, you know, proceed from there, you'll in some cases, not all, you'll see something that definitely doesn't fit with the statement that there is no life up there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But you know, they have tampered with photographs, and there's just question about that.
Humongously, it's.
But they have let some things get out too.
They have, and what's interesting about it is. I think about it and I said, okay, is this a slip or is it deliberate? So I'm on the fence on which one it is. And now, you know, I'm the guy who's going to say, hey, too many chefs in the kitchen, you know, you're definitely going to mess up the recipe. So you have all these people, you know, involved in government, you know, from the Geological Society, et cetera. You just can't have a tight grip on that always. There's always going to be a human error somewhere. But then, you know, who knows? I mean, that's, you know, my feeling is I have a big issue with them coming out saying, yeah, there's life there and we've been in contact with them. In fact, we have a colony up there. I just don't see that happening because I hate to be a pessimist about it, because it would expose so much, and people would start to say, wow, they're admitting to this now. Well, what else is going on? So they would you know, you just can't stop short there. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you're right. Plus, by just coming out and admitting it, they're going to have there's going to be an accounting. If they do that, there's going to be an accounting and holding someone responsible for 60 years of felonies committed against citizens.
Absolutely. And you know, our government, that is not going to happen. So, because, you know, we're talking about going as far back as World War II.
You want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yeah, hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. We are back, and we are on Final Approach. On the phone with me is Greg from New Jersey. And Greg, we were talking about all these NASA photos and stuff. You know, I've heard people say that, you know, they really, really felt like that NASA, well, one of the things they say NASA stands for, never a straight answer. Yeah. But that's not it's not exactly true, because they do leak stuff out to us if we're willing to look for it. They get some stuff out. They have over the years gotten some stuff out to us. But I do agree that there neither NASA nor the Air Force nor any part of the government, I think, is never going to step to the plate and say, yep, it is true. We have had contact with extraterrestrials since the Holloman Air Force Base meeting, or the Edwards Air Force Base meeting, or whatever. Because if they do that, unless there is on the morning before they do that, unless Congress passes amnesty for them, there are some people wearing stars on their shoulder that are going to prison if they live through the outrage.
Right, right. And it's interesting that you mention that, because as insane as it sounds, if you look at all of the photographs, you're right. They have just pushed them through. I mean, I guess the other day I saw a photograph, and, you know, the way they describe the photograph as some rock, but then when you look at it, it looks like pillars. And then when you examine it even closer, you could see a smidgen of a hieroglyph on it. But, you know, NASA is not going to say, well, this looks like a hieroglyphic pillar or some sort. They're not going to say that. It's up to you, you know, us as a species, as humans, to use our common sense and say, hey, you know, we know the difference between what a rock looks like, one that's cut into a square and one that's, you know, natural to the Earth. No pun intended with Mars, but it's interesting, though, because if you and I were to do this, let's say, Kevin, you and I said, okay, here's a photograph, and look at it clearly, Mr., you know, neighbor, and we said, that looks like a pillar, an ancient statue or some sort, we would get looked upon as probably, we don't see it, we're crazy. But if a government were to come out and say something like that, then people would believe it. And
yeah, and that is a huge, huge issue. Greg, I'm going to have to release the line so I can take the next call, but be sure you tune in and listen to what I'm about to say regarding what you just said. And thank you for the call. Look, folks, if you see a cow, you've seen a cow. If you see a Cadillac, you've seen a Cadillac. Now, when is the last time you allowed somebody to tell you and convince you, after you saw a cow, that it was a Cadillac? You wouldn't do that. You might even get into an argument with them about it, and you'd think they're nuts for trying to convince you that cow was a Cadillac. But when NASA tells you, well, this is just a natural rock formation, and you're looking at carvings on it, you go, oh, okay, it's a natural formation. You let them convince you of it. Why? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi, Kevin. I was just thinking about Stefan from Quebec City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where he was thinking how he couldn't relate to people that weren't, you know, tuned in, I guess, if you want to use that phrase.
Yeah.
And I would just, you know, I'm hoping he's listening now, but I would just say, you know, I'm sensitive to that kind of thing myself, but there is no way that I would want to segregate myself from people who are not aware or who are not even interested in the topics that are discussed on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, it's not a big deal.
Well, yeah, there is a comfort zone, you know. I mean, these are the things we're interested in. We love to talk about them. And if we're in a group where people are open to it, we're comfortable with it. And so there's a comfort zone there. However, you got to think about this. You know, I'm not religious, but this is a good example. If the very first Christians had said, you know, we just like hanging out with each other and, hey, the rest of you can go to hell. If they had done that, there'd be no other Christians.
Right.
You know, they had to get out of their comfort zone and hang out with the unwashed masses in order for what they believe to spread, you know.
Well, you know, I'm as unwashed as the next person. But what I'd like to tell someone like Stefan is, you know, I play sports and I got a boss and I do, you know, business with different people in the community, and I'll, you know, I'll put little bits out,
mm-hmm.
just see what comes back, and if it's receptive, I'll put a little bit more out, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people who I hang out with the most pretty much know where I'm coming from. But again, I just say, hey, I heard this on Kevin's show, or, you know, coast to coast or whatever, and it's just not an issue. It's just they know what my interest is, and that way there's no division. It's they know where I'm coming from, and we're good friends, and it just works out really well.
Yeah, you know, if you're credible to people at their level, then
exactly.
Things that you say that are on another level have more credibility with them.
Right, yeah.
And so that's important. You know, you have to be credible at their level. And So, you know, whether you're talking to a first grader or you're talking to a PhD, you just shift gears and be credible at their level.
Well, I know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause really, you know, if you think about this stuff, that's discussed on your show,
mm-hmm.
and you hit up someone who's never thought about that before, it would be nearly impossible to try and explain it. It's just too complex, and you certainly wouldn't want to make an issue of it or try and make a division.
Well, that's true, and the only thing where I'm confrontational at all is if they get in my face about it, and at that point, I whip out the knives, and I use that figuratively, but at that point, I begin to slice and dice their logic.
Right.
And but if they don't get confrontational with me about it,
yeah,
then, hey, you know, we just go on with what we're doing.
Yeah. Actually, my feeling is that you don't need knives. You could just do it with your hands.
Well, I can, but I'm not speaking physically. I'm speaking about intellectually. I get the knives and start making some incisions in their logic. But anyway, John, thanks for calling. I'm going to have to go because we're almost out of show here.
Alrighty.
All right, thanks for the call. All right. Yeah, you know, I unless forced to do so, I don't. But I can. And but if you know, I enjoy hanging out with people who have no idea even how to spell UFO if you spot them the U and the O. I enjoy hanging out with people. Because in the final analysis, folks, what is there else on this planet that matters? Nothing else on this planet matters. Nothing matters except people. And so I enjoy hanging out with people that are in the group and out of the group. And, you know, sometimes someone rushes up to me and says, "Can I have your autograph?" But most of the time, people have never even heard of me. I like them both. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until Monday, when my guest is Bill Burns. You know him from television. Until then, so long, everybody.